let's get into the studio right now and start off the show. Remember, you can continue, make those pledges online, but let's get into that space to let you be the rain. Let's start off our visit right here with Mystic Journey. And the first voice you'll hear is Suzanne Teng, right here on Ear to the Ground.
This piece is Medicine Wheel, and for us it's an invocation, and we often start our concerts with it. I like to imagine that I'm in a cave and playing my double ocarina to the spirits.
This song is also from our latest album. It's called Lebanese Girl. We could tell you the story how we came up with that title. But The instrumentation on this song is the Swiss Hung, which many of you know about, but surprisingly how many of you don't. It's a metal drum, and unlike the flute and the drum, which are as old as mankind, this instrument was invented in the year 2000, and it's loosely based on the Trinidadian steel drum, taken to another level of musical artistry, the ability to make musical artistry on it. And then also we're featuring the Swara Sangam, which is a Swara Mandala and a Tanpura at the same time.
This next piece is China Lily, and it's from our first CD, Mystic Journey. And I'm playing the Chinese bamboo flute called a ditsa, and this is the flute that is my spirit flute. It's the flute that really got me started on this journey, playing music from my heart, from an energy beyond just reading music. I'm a classically trained flutist that had never gone off the written page before until I started with this little precious flute, and if you saw it, you'd think, oh, wow, it's really tattered looking, but it's a very special flute. So this is China Lily.
Thank you.
You're listening to Mystic Journey, recorded live in our own Studio A earlier this week. We'll get back. We have a whole conversation and two more instrumental pieces, originals from Suzanne Tang and Gilbert Levy coming up. Just want to remind you that coming up at 8 p.m. will be Route 66, Psychedelic Radio Head Shop to follow at 10 o'clock. And we are open at KUNM.org for your pledge of support. Remember, you can make the pledge in any amount you want. There's a donate tab on the upper right. There's even a picture of our great big prize, the 2017 Prius. Someone will receive that when this drive is over. And you can make your pledge in support of this program and all the programs here at KUNM right there at KUNM.org. And we really do appreciate it. I hope you're appreciating this music. This is a group from Santa Fe. They've been here a while, but tend to play more outside the state than in. So it's really special when we get a chance to bring them into our studio. Even as the two-piece, we'll play a little bit from their album so you can hear them in their four-piece glory as well. But let's step back to this Thursday evening and the music of Mystic Journey.
This next piece is called Yunnan. It's on our new CD, Kingdom of Mountains. And I am playing a really unique instrument called a hulusa. It's from the Yunnan province of China. And our dear friends were in China and brought it to me as a surprise. And it's one of the best gifts I've gotten. Gilbert's playing his assorted drums over there. And this is Yunnan.
Thank you. Well, we're taking a moment out from the performance to meet Mystic Journey, to meet, I guess we'll call you the brain trust of Mystic Journey, although when we see the ensemble on stage, most of the time, there's three of you or four of you. So we're gonna hold out hope that eventually the foursome will be here.
Definitely.
But right now we're with Suzanne Teng and Gilbert Levy, who are, you've been the heart and soul of this group for a very long time.
Yeah.
Okay, background is very interesting. One of you comes from New Orleans. One of you comes from Berkeley, California. One of you comes from a fairly rigorous classical training. Another one of you comes from jazz, where improv was always part of the experience. We're gonna tell people who's who. because it all comes down to, as you explain a little later in the show, or you've explained already, it comes down to a very small flute with a very interesting shape called the ditsa.
Mm-hmm.
You say in the performance that you were working off the page. You were a sight reader. You were classically trained, Suzanne. And then you picked up this flute, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden things changed. Mm-hmm. Your relationship to music changed. Can you describe that?
Yeah, I was in Boston. I had just finished my master's degree in classical music, and I was living with my flute teacher, who was in the Boston Symphony, and I was playing, you know, 6 hours a day and then working in a music library. And one of the cellists in the Boston Symphony invited me on a retreat, and I met an African drummer. And he came over after the retreat and saw my flute and said, would you play that for me? And I said, well, I can't really remember the tunes. I had been in Taiwan a previous summer and learned a bunch of tunes, but I'd forgotten them. So me as the classical musician thought, oh, I can't remember my music. But he said, no, just play. I said, oh, okay. Play what? Play anything. So I closed my eyes and played, and that was the beginning of it. And it did turn my world around. It was really incredible. And definitely changed my path musically and my life.
And it made you an ethnomusicologist on top of
everything else. Yeah, I started getting more into the improvising in the world flutes. Then my sensible Chinese brain kicked in and said, well, I really need to get a job with this stuff. So then I went to ethnomusicology at UCLA, worked on a PhD. And then the other side of me kicked in and said, wait, this isn't you, really. So then I got back into who I was and more of a player and more of the hippie improviser that I am.
Now as this journey is going on, Gilbert, you're learning to drum and be a percussionist and play jazz in New Orleans and pick up all of those improvisational sensibilities.
Yeah, I too played classical music for a brief while, but it rankled me because there was so much happening at the time. I mean, New Orleans music on its own was we were spellbound by the Meters and Alan Toussaint. So that was our lives. You know, after school, we'd go play and talk or listen to music.
Mm-hmm.
So it was from the get-go, it was that sort of upbringing. And then later I moved to Los Angeles and I couldn't play in an apartment without disturbing somebody. So I learned to play tabla. And here we are.
And in between, I think there was a period where you were playing rock music, pop music.
Sure.
On the West Coast as well. Well, I'm asking about improvisation because I want to know how these pieces are constructed. Given the 12 different instruments you brought in, I think today to be conservative about what you've played, just in this little setup. So when you improvise and the group came together sort of organically, Mystic Journey wasn't the original name of the group, and so much is organic about this. I can't believe these tunes begin just like, let's play.
Yeah, I mean, they do. They start from the instruments pretty much speaking what they want to play. I, from my point, my flutes, they really have a certain, I guess it's more the world flutes that I'm thinking about when I improvise on those, if the flutes really guide me. My main voices are the alto and bass flute,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, since those are something I've done since I was young, I can play any you know, anything I want on those. And so I definitely am guided by my improvisations on those flutes as well, but not so much from the instrument. It's more from me. The mm-hmm. other ones are from the instrument, if that makes sense.
So your voice is that alto, and the bass, which is a pretty aggressive sounding instrument. It's not typical for women in the flute world to be ace at the deeper noted wind instruments, or at least on the flute, not that I'm aware of.
Well, they're big, but we know what's interesting is, you know, I was just in, and knowing you, you probably know this because it's amazing how much you know, but in D.C. in April at the first International Low Flutes Festival, which was mind-boggling because I play alto and bass, and then on the meditation album, I play contrabass flute. That's 8 feet of tubing. And there's a picture of it on the CD. But in this,
is this the one where you have to wear gloves?
No gloves. I haven't seen that one. But it goes this way. It goes across and it goes up and it goes down. It's on a stand. But now that's called the contrabass. That's a full octave below the bass flute. But now they have the double contra, which really isn't that unusual. It used to be. And when I played it maybe 5 years ago at a flute convention, 22 feet of tubing. And now my friend Peter Sheridan in Australia, he's making a hyper flute, which is another octave below that. It's 64 feet of tubing. It's insane. So in a way, those are so big and so heavy that is more of a macho flute. But a lot of women play the contra.
Well, the alto flute, I know just from hearing it, even in jazz music especially, is you just the tone of it, you can imagine, you know, if you're not listening too closely, that this is a native flute or this is a wooden flute. It mm-hmm. seems to have, just as an instrument, it seems to be more akin to all of these very, very old flute traditions than the what we now call alto flute.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I think so. I mean, I think you hit it on the button because that flute, for me, I hear so many voices and I'm able to do so many voices on that flute. So a lot of times when I'm called into a recording session, I'll bring my bag of flutes, but I go back to that flute because it can sound like an Indian flute and it can sound like so many of these other exotic flutes, but it's chromatic, so I can do any notes. Mm-hmm. But the only thing I can't really do is slide between notes.
What does that do for the percussionist? Because, of course, you've got this huge range. I mean, you have an instrument that was invented in the year 2000,
What's interesting, what I wanted to add to the previous thought was that on our first record, and we played Medicine Wheel Tonight, which was on our second record, and that was in the era when I had all these drums and she had all these flutes, and we were new to each other, and I pick up a Cole, which is the Hare Krishna drum, and she picked up the double ocarina, and it was just instant, wow, this really works, and those concepts sort of drove the earlier record, whereas in Kingdom of Mountains, we've kind of evolved to a more compositional, even though it's improvised, it's a little bit more compositional with a little more thought applied to the ins and the outs and the structure, which we still improvise over. So that's the evolution of the...
But one of the things that you seem to be saying as well is you have all these nations from which to draw from, but if the flute is coming from nation A, the percussion doesn't have to come out of that tradition at all.
No. Correct, yeah.
And that's shifted over the years from, it's harder for me to play finger drums anymore because of just, you know, life happens. Mm-hmm. And so I've been playing more African drums lately. I play the kanjira still, which is a lot of fun, the South Indian. Mm-hmm. So that's an evolution as well.
When I look at your website, and the website, you have a .net, it's mysticjourney.net. And that's where we can follow you and find out where else you're playing, because you're playing all over the place. And it seems like New Mexico gets the least of you, even though you live in Santa Fe. So we want to see if that changes, like sooner rather than later.
Okay. We'd like that.
but here you go, looking at all the places you've played, the festivals you've been a part of, ambient music, instrumental music. World music? Is it sacred music? Mm-hmm. Dare we call it New Age music?
You're good.
How do you, as now I'm really thinking, not as, because I know what happens, I've seen you play, so this is not what happens to you as musicians, but how do you, as people who produce this music, make an album, and put it out into the world and get bookings, you know, in the world. How frustrating is it to be facing these stereotypes?
Oh, interesting. There's definitely a stigma about the term New Age, which is probably the category that we're placed in the most in terms of the market, our CDs. And we win a lot of awards in the New Age category. But, you know, I don't think it's a bad category. It's just I think some people think it's mostly like elevator music or whatever they think. I don't know. But it's not like someone's going to necessarily book us for a festival if we call ourselves a New Age group. So that's, you know, you bring up a lot of good points because we generally go as like a world music ensemble if we're performing. You know, I don't know the answers to your questions because I'm just going step by step figuring this out.
We're thinking of doing our next or perhaps our second to next CD live with just our two band members who live in California, who we love so much. But when we play, when we're allowed to, we play, it's a whole nother thing. Jam band comes to mind, but there's more structure than that. But it's not that. And when we have the opportunity to play freely, it's magical. So we want to bring them over here and do that in our studio, whether we invite people or whether we just do it with us four. That's going to show another aspect of us that people only know about if they've come to see us play live.
Yeah, because actually in L.A., we lived there for, you know, decades. So we did a lot of concerts there. And there was a group of people that, they were really devoted to our music, and they had heard our music for years and years and years and years. So then when we did concerts for them, we didn't want to do the same pieces that they had heard every year, so we really went deep. And it was really some of the most incredible times we've had musically with our guys and with all of us, because we play a set and then take a little break, and then we do the second set, and it's just a complete surrender of anything planned, anything expected. It's 100% just listening and feeling and intuiting. And
there's a story there. So the audience is with us. So when we, you know, if we stop and we say, what do you want to do now? They're with us all the way because they're part of that journey.
Yeah, so we love that. So we'd love to do more of that.
So when you're doing it, are you, we've had groups in here that do 50-minute improvisations with structure in there, that they use hand cues and stuff.
I saw that on your website.
Is that the way you envision this, or is it more like an audience interaction?
No, they're different pieces. Like, they don't go on forever. So we'll play something and that one will just fade, and then we'll kind of see where we're going. Maybe someone will make a sound and that'll inspire us to be more energetic, you know, and then we kind of decide, what do you want to play? What instrument do you want to play? And because we all have so many different instruments. And so it's more just like feeling what we want to do energetically, instrumentally, and do a lot of different pieces.
Suzanne, you have done some work for film or for soundtrack type work. Is that, I would imagine documentarians, to name one field, would be beating a path to your door at this point.
Yeah, we love that. Actually, we have one coming up, but I've done a handful of them, and we love doing that. We actually scored a raw food documentary, and we've played, you know, on lots of really cool documentaries. But yes, documentarians out there, we'd love to provide music for you. Well, if we want this is a brand new piece. It's called KUNM on a Thursday afternoon. I'm playing a Native American flute, and we just love to improvise. So this is for KUNM. Thank you.
You've been listening to Mystic Journey in Performance, the duo version of Mystic Journey in Performance, recorded live on Thursday evening, the 20th, in Studio A by Roman Garcia. This version of Mystic Journey, the core duo of the group, Suzanne Tang, flutes, bells, vina, Gilbert Levy, drums, percussion, hong, and vina, especially that rich, deep twang that I think sounded so good, even though it was a complete accident. In the background, you're listening to a Mystic Journey from an earlier album under the name of Suzanne Tang called Enchanted Wind, and that is in the background. I'm going to leave it up. The sound of that 22-foot-long contrabass flute. Maybe we'll hear more of that in pristine fashion, but hey, you listen to one of Santa Fe's most interesting and award-winning groups, pretty much uninterrupted, with an interview to boot.